Jackson thought he and Mia shared every truth until he whispered yes to her taboo fantasy. They entered a world of velvet whispers, hidden doors, and other bodies, a cuckolding game that promised deeper intimacy. At first, Jackson found strange comfort in watching, surrendering his control as humiliation turned into arousal. Mia seemed happier, sex more electric. But cracks emerged in the veneer. Silent phone calls, private rendezvous behind their own bed, Mia's mood swings. Jackson's satisfying thrill curdled into crushing jealousy. The game became a trap, his mind replaying every detail, his heart pounding with fear. Was it truly about connection, or a spiral of shame and addiction? With each encounter, the line between fantasy and betrayal blurred. Now their marriage, and Jackson's sanity, hangs by a thread. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Whisper That Changed Everything. Jackson Myers had never thought of himself as insecure. At 36, he was confident, successful, and married to a woman who turned heads in every room she entered. Mia was radiant. Her laughter filled any space. Her presence made other women glance sideways, and men forget their wives were standing right next to them. She was bold, unapologetically sexual, and brutally honest. And Jackson had loved her for all of that. At least, until she told him her fantasy. It started on a quiet night in November. Rain tapped against their windows as they curled under a blanket on the couch, sipping wine. A documentary on open relationships played in the background, half-watched, as Jackson absently rubbed her foot. Mia had been quiet, unusually so. Then she asked, almost too casually, "Have you ever thought about watching me with someone else?" Jackson blinked. He wasn't sure he'd heard right. "What do you mean, like a threesome?" She shook her head. "No. I mean just watching. You, me, and another man. But only me and him, with you there. I want to be yours while you see me taken by someone else." His stomach flipped. Was she testing him? Was this a joke? "I don't know what to say," he replied, laughing awkwardly. "You don't have to say anything right now. Just think about it." He did think about it. Obsessively. The days that followed were fogged in confusion. Jackson tried to shake it off. He'd been with other women before Mia, had experienced his fair share of adventure. But this felt different. More intimate. More vulnerable. There was something raw about it. Violent, even. The idea clawed at his pride. But it also stirred something else. He started researching it online. Articles, forums, confession blogs. He learned the word cuckold, and suddenly it was everywhere. Stories of men aroused by their wives being pleasured by others, of surrender and humiliation being used as fuel. Some described it as spiritual. Others called it psychological suicide. Jackson couldn't stop reading. By the following weekend, the idea wasn't foreign anymore. It was dangerous, and that made it seductive. They sat at a wine bar downtown when he finally brought it up. "I've been thinking," he said carefully, "about what you asked. Watching you, with someone else." Mia tilted her head. "And I don't hate the idea. I mean, it scares me. But there's something about it." She smiled, not wickedly, but warmly, like she'd waited years to be heard. "It's not about you not being enough," she said. "It's about trust. It's about letting go of control. I want to be completely free, but only with you watching. That makes it safe." Those words wrapped around Jackson like silk and wire. He nodded. "Then let's try. But I have boundaries." "Of course," Mia replied. "We'll set the rules together." They didn't set the rules that night. They made love instead. Harder, more passionate than they had in months. And that's how it began. At first, everything was controlled. Mia joined an anonymous app for discreet couples. They filtered dozens of profiles together, swiping like teenagers. Some were creepy. Some too eager. Others looked too much like Jackson, and that made him uncomfortable. But eventually they found him, Dante. Tall. Dark. Older. Confident in a quiet, magnetic way. A man who didn't need attention because it came to him anyway. He was experienced in this world and offered no emotional entanglement. "He's perfect," Mia whispered after their first video chat. Jackson said nothing. His stomach burned, but he nodded. "He'll follow the rules, right?" he asked. "I'll make sure of it," she said, kissing him. Their first meeting was public, neutral ground at a downtown lounge. Dante greeted them like old friends. Mia wore a short black dress and a knowing smile. She touched Jackson's hand all night, reminding him silently that this was theirs. A shared secret. But when Dante looked at her, Jackson felt something primal. Possessiveness. Fear. A twinge of excitement. They had agreed. No touching yet. Just talk. Set expectations. Dante's voice was calm, direct. I don't overstep. I read the room. If Jackson ever wants it to stop, it stops. Mia controls the scene, but Jackson sets the limits. It sounded so clinical. So respectful. Almost too perfect. Back home that night, Mia undressed slowly. She sat on Jackson's lap and whispered in his ear. I want you to remember tonight. How it started. How much control you still have. He kissed her hard. She was his. And that made everything feel safe. But in the back of his mind, a whisper remained. What if this doesn't end the way it started? What if control is the first thing you lose? Chapter 2. A room with no mirrors. Jackson stood at the edge of the hotel suite, his back against the wall, fingers clenched so tight his knuckles ached. The curtains were drawn. Candlelight flickered in all corners of the room, casting golden shadows across the floor like ritual fire. Mia was already in the center of the king-sized bed, wrapped in black lace. Dante stood near the door, cool and unhurried, removing his jacket as if stepping into a familiar rhythm. They had discussed everything beforehand, safe words, gestures, eye contact. Jackson would be there, watching but not participating. He had agreed to the terms. Still, nothing could prepare him for the reality of it. He wasn't ready for how Mia looked at Dante, or how she didn't look at Jackson. This first encounter wasn't meant to feel like betrayal. That's what they told themselves. Jackson had framed it in his mind like a performance. Like watching a scene unfold in a theater, only the actors were real. And one of them was his wife. The first 5 minutes were slow. Dante was respectful. He kissed her shoulder, whispering something Jackson couldn't hear. Mia giggled. She had never giggled for Jackson like that. Not since their first year. Jackson's breath caught. He wanted to leave. But he stayed. His body felt cold, but something deeper inside stirred. He hated it. He wanted it. He hated that he wanted it. When it was over, Mia came to him. She didn't speak. She just climbed into his lap and held him, naked and trembling. Not from shame, but from adrenaline. Jackson felt her heartbeat against his chest like a drum of war and survival. He kissed her. Tasted her. He tried not to think about whose breath still lingered on her skin. The days that followed were filled with strange electricity. Mia was happier. She was glowing. She cooked more, laughed louder, and even made love to Jackson with a new hunger. It brought something out of me, she said. Something I buried. Don't you feel closer to me now? He wanted to say yes. He wanted to believe that. Instead, he nodded. But inside, the questions were building like steam in a locked room. The second encounter happened sooner than he expected. No candles this time. No gentle pacing. This one was faster, hungrier, less about performance and more about desire. Mia didn't look at Jackson once during the act. She didn't need to. She was somewhere else, in another world. Jackson was a spectator with a front row seat to his own unraveling. When she collapsed beside him afterward, breathless and flushed, she whispered, "Was it too much?" He wanted to scream yes. But the words never came. "It was intense," he managed. She smiled. "That's good, right?" Jackson started drinking more. He told himself it was to calm his nerves. To stay loose when the scenes unfolded. But deep down, he was drowning. Every session blurred the line between fantasy and abandonment. He started to notice things. Mia was on her phone more. Whispering in the bathroom. Hiding her screen when he walked by. "Just checking the app," she'd say. But Dante had already been selected. So who was she talking to now? One night, Jackson couldn't sleep. He got up and wandered into her office, where her tablet sat charging. He picked it up. She had left it open. A message thread blinked at him. "You felt different this time. I think we crossed a line, Mia. You okay? I wanted you to. I wanted to know what it felt like. What he would never do." Jackson dropped the tablet like it burned his hand. What did that mean? What had they done? What wouldn't he do? That night, Jackson didn't touch her in bed. He laid still, listening to her breathe, wondering which version of Mia he was sleeping next to. The version that needed him? Or the one slipping away, piece by piece, through an open door he helped her unlock? In the morning, Mia made pancakes. She hummed to herself. Kissed him on the cheek. "You okay, baby?" Jackson smiled. "Yeah." It was the most convincing lie he'd ever told. but as he cleaned his plate, one thought gnawed at him like a splinter beneath the skin. He wasn't watching the fantasy anymore. The fantasy was watching him. Chapter 3. Eyes Behind the Curtains. Jackson never planned to snoop. That wasn't who he was. Or at least, that's what he used to believe. But trust is like glass. Once a crack appears, it spreads fast. And Jackson couldn't unsee that message on Mia's tablet. What he would never do. What the hell did that mean? He'd always seen himself as open-minded, even progressive. But now, the openness had become a hole. One he was sinking through. That morning, after Mia left for yoga, Jackson stayed home. Called in sick. Poured himself a whiskey at 10 a.m. Then he did something he hadn't done in years. He logged into her old laptop. It still had the same password, Amor23. Inside, he found nothing at first. Photos. Work files. An old playlist from their wedding. But buried inside her video projects folder was something that stopped his breath cold. A series of files. No names. Just dates. The most recent one. 2 nights ago. He clicked play. At first, it looked like a typical hotel room. Low lighting. White sheets. Shadows flickering on the wall. Then the scene sharpened, and Jackson saw himself. He was standing by the window, arms folded, watching Mia and Dante on the bed. The angle was wrong. This wasn't filmed from his point of view. Someone else had recorded it. Jackson hit pause. His hands were shaking. How long had someone been watching him? He opened more videos. Some were even more disturbing. Footage from inside their own bedroom. Their living room. One clip even showed Jackson asleep on the couch. Was it a hidden camera? Or had Mia been recording him? He closed the laptop, his heart thundering. This wasn't kink. This wasn't fantasy. This was surveillance. When Mia came home, Jackson tried to act normal. But his voice was too calm, his smile too tight. She tilted her head, sensing something. You okay? He nodded. Just tired. Maybe coming down with something. She walked over, kissed his forehead. I'll make soup. He almost cried at that. How could someone film him like an experiment? Then offer soup. Later that night, Jackson searched the house. Bathroom vents. Smoke detectors. Wall outlets. Nothing. But he couldn't shake the feeling that he was being watched. And not just by Mia anymore. The next day, he called Dante. The burner number rang 4 times before connecting. Jackson's voice was sharp. Did you record us? Silence. Then a slow, even reply. I never record without consent. Then who did? You should ask your wife. The line went dead. That night, Jackson confronted her. He didn't yell. He didn't accuse. He simply said, I found the videos. Mia's expression didn't shift. Not an inch. I thought you knew, she said softly. You thought I knew. I wanted to preserve the moments. For us. Like memories. Like home videos. He stared at her. Home videos? Of me watching another man have sex with my wife? Without telling me. She stepped closer. You didn't say no. You just didn't say anything. And you loved it, don't lie. That word, loved, hit him like a slap. He hadn't loved it. He'd endured it. He'd convinced himself it was for her. But now he realized, it had always been for her. For her pleasure. For her power. And he had become part of the show. He left that night. Slept in the guest room at his brother's house. Didn't answer Mia's texts. Didn't go to work. Didn't eat. He just stared at the ceiling and wondered how much of their life had been real, and how much had been content. When he finally opened his phone again, a new message appeared from a blocked number. You're not the first. Attached, a single photo. Jackson's living room. From behind the couch. From a camera he didn't install. He dropped the phone. His mind screamed one thing. This wasn't just betrayal. This was a trap. Chapter 4. The Spectator Network. Jackson stared at the photo for hours. The living room looked normal, just as it had every evening for the past 5 years. Same sectional. Same throw pillows. Same hardwood floor beneath his feet as he paced that very spot night after night, never knowing someone might have been watching him the entire time. The camera was positioned from the far left corner, behind the bookshelf. Hidden. Calculated. This wasn't casual voyeurism. This was surveillance. He called a friend from college, Jordan, a cybersecurity analyst in DC. They hadn't spoken in years. Jackson skipped the pleasantries. I need to know how to sweep for cameras. Hidden ones. Wi-Fi enabled. Something off-grid. Jordan paused. Is this about work? No. It's personal. Jordan's tone darkened. All right, I'll send you a link. You need an RF detector and a network scan tool. Check every corner, every mirror, every smoke detector, every outlet. If it's on the grid, you'll find it. Jackson ordered both that night. Express delivery. He also bought a bottle of bourbon and drank half before sunrise. The next morning, he returned to the house. Mia was out. He moved through every room like a ghost. The first device he found was in the guest bathroom, buried in a ceiling vent. Tiny. Wireless. Blinking faintly. The second was behind a book on the top shelf of his office. The Art of Letting Go. The irony wasn't lost on him. He removed it with shaking hands. There were three more in the bedroom. Two pointed toward the bed. One pointed toward the door. Every inch of their private life had been recorded. But by whom? Mia. Or someone else. He packed the devices into a shoebox. Sealed it with duct tape. Then he went back into her laptop. There was a folder he hadn't noticed before. Hidden under a dummy app titled Budget Tracker. Inside, he found dozens of encrypted video files. Too many to count. He opened the most recent one. There she was. Mia. On the couch. Not with Dante. With someone else. Not in their house. But somewhere it's staged. The camera was cinematic. Smooth pans. Edited transitions. Even a light score in the background. Jackson's blood ran cold. This wasn't amateur. This was production. He clicked deeper. Another file. A chat log this time. It read like a forum. New upload just dropped, Mia in black. Dude watching from corner. Classic slow burn tension. Love how broken he looks at 2:47. When's the next one? Requesting multi-angle replay on bedroom camera. Jackson's heart slammed against his ribs. This was a network. A digital theater of humiliation. And he was the star. He didn't call Mia. He couldn't. He didn't even know who she was anymore. Instead, he went back to Jordan. I think I've been streamed. Like online. A fetish site or something. Jordan sighed. That's dark web territory. You won't find it with Google. But if you have file names, video samples, anything, send them. I'll run it through some back-end scrapers. Jackson sent everything. By the next morning, Jordan had a name. The Spectator Network. A members-only dark website dedicated to cuckold realism and emotional degradation cinema. High-paying subscribers. Exclusive content. Weekly live streams. Jackson was numb. They call it cinema, Jordan said. But it's exploitation. Psychological porn. You've been sold. He threw up. Twice. Then he called Mia. She didn't answer. He called again. Finally, her voice. Jackson. He could barely breathe. How long have you been filming me? A pause. Then softly. Since the second time. He almost dropped the phone. And uploading it? For them. Silence. I needed the money, Jackson. You wouldn't understand. You let strangers watch me break. Her voice cracked. You were never supposed to find out. That was her excuse. You were never supposed to find out. Not sorry. Not ashamed. Just caught. He hung up. Every memory. Every whispered touch. Every apology. Every moment he thought she loved him. Played like a scene he hadn't written. He wasn't her partner. He was her content. Later that night, another message came. Blocked number again. The next show is live tomorrow at 8. Final act. You should come. Attached was a link. Jackson stared at it for hours. And for the first time, he knew exactly what he had to do. Chapter 5. The Man Behind the Curtain. Jackson hadn't slept. Not even a minute. He sat at the edge of the hotel bed, staring at the glow of his laptop like it was a loaded weapon. The link was still there, taunting him. Final act. You should come. It felt like a dare. An invitation. Or worst, a trap. He didn't care. By noon, Jordan had called back with intel. The Spectator Network is run through 5 proxy layers and 3 rotating domain scramblers. But we found the source node. Eastern Seaboard. New York. Someone's hosting this locally. Jackson's voice was flat. Can we trace the host? I already did. Guy's name is Nolan Vexler. Used to run a black market video production outfit in the early 2000s. Moved into kink circuits and erotic cinema. Then disappeared. Rebranded. Jackson's mouth went dry. Where is he now? I'll text you the address. But Jackson, this guy's not some pervert with a webcam. He's a businessman. He sells pain for profit. Don't go alone. But Jackson had already packed the car. Nolan Vexler's studio was hidden in plain sight. A 3-story brownstone on the edge of Brooklyn, dressed up like a boutique creative agency. Clean glass front, polished brass signage, NV Studios. Inside, the receptionist was young, smiling, and seemingly unaware of what happened behind the back wall. Jackson gave a fake name, claimed he was scouting for an indie project. She led him upstairs, unaware she was walking a bomb into the building. The third floor was a soundstage. Red velvet curtains, a director's chair, multiple monitors. And at the center, standing like a man who thought himself untouchable, was Nolan Vexler, mid-50s, trim beard, black turtleneck. He looked like a villain from a prestige drama. "Mr. Price," he said smoothly, "we've been expecting you." Jackson froze. "How do you know my name?" Vexler grinned. "We know all our stars." Jackson lunged. He didn't think. He just moved. But two security guards stepped in fast, restraining him. Vexler didn't flinch. He simply walked closer, studying Jackson like a product on a shelf. "You're angry. I understand. But you agreed to this." "I never." "You let it happen," Vexler cut in. "Consent doesn't always need a signature, Mr. Price. Sometimes it's passive. Sometimes it's emotional. But it's there." Jackson spit at him. Vexler wiped it away with a handkerchief, smiling. "We're in the business of capturing authenticity. You gave us everything we needed. Pain. Jealousy. Collapse. You, my friend, are art." The guards released him. Vexler wasn't afraid. Not of Jackson. Not of consequences. "This final stream?" Vexler said. "It's closure. For the audience. For Mia. For you." "She's in on this?" Vexler tilted his head. "She was the showrunner. But she's also the final act. And so are you." Jackson walked out of that building half dead. Not from injury. From truth. This wasn't a betrayal. This was a conspiracy. One where his love had been weaponized. Where his shame had been filmed. Sold. Shared. And still, he hadn't stopped watching. That night, Jackson clicked the stream link. It opened a portal, dark interface, neon lettering, viewer counter ticking upward by the second. Over 14,000 people waiting. Live countdown. 29 minutes and 36 seconds. He plugged in his mic, turned on his camera. If they wanted a finale, he'd give them one. But it wouldn't be the one they scripted. He called Mia one last time. She answered after the fourth ring. "Jackson, you're gonna meet me," he said. "We end this. On my terms." She hesitated. "You don't understand." "I understand everything now." Silence. "Then, send the address." He chose the warehouse downtown. Abandoned, cold, filled with echo. He set up a chair in the center of the floor. Lit it with a single bulb overhead. He placed a second chair opposite it. "Cameras ready. Mic live." Then he waited. Mia arrived exactly on time. Dressed in black. Hair pulled tight. No makeup. No mask. Just the woman he once loved. She sat down slowly. "You look tired," she said. "You look like someone who sold my soul." She didn't deny it. "I thought I could control it," she said. "The first time we did it, you looked at me like I was your world. But I wanted more. I wanted to feel seen." "You were seen," Jackson said. "By me. And it wasn't enough." He looked straight into the camera. "Everyone watching this, this isn't a kink story. This is what happens when trust is hollowed out and sold like porn. I gave everything to her. She gave it to strangers. And now, I'm taking it back." He stood, walked behind the lights. The stream cut to black. The chat exploded. What the hell just happened? Was that the real ending? Brilliant. Raw pain. Beautiful art. But for Jackson, the performance was over. He didn't need to explain. He didn't need revenge. He just needed the cameras to stop rolling. Chapter 6. The story that wouldn't die. Jackson thought pulling the plug would be the end. He smashed the hard drives. Burned the shoebox with the hidden cameras. Deleted every trace of the Spectator Network's streaming link from his devices. Jordan even helped him wipe old backups off the cloud. For once, Jackson felt like he had control again. But in today's world, content never dies. It just changes hosts. 3 days after the stream went dark, Jackson got a call. Not from Mia. Not from Jordan. From a stranger. Blocked number. He let it ring. Then the voicemail came through. "I saw your finale. Raw. Beautiful. But stories like yours? They don't end. They evolve. You want to talk about authorship? Call me back." There was no name. Just a whisper and a click. Jackson sat still for hours after that. He didn't move, didn't speak. Was it a threat? An offer? or something worse, a trap to pull him back in? The next day, Jordan messaged him with a screen grab. New series on the dark stream. The Broken Man Project, unauthorized cuts. Jackson clicked the link. There he was. Same chair. Same warehouse. Same monologue from the final stream. But the edit was different. Flashbacks. Angled cuts. Mia's face layered in slow motion overlays. Background music like a film trailer. And worse, voiceover. Not his. Some actor imitating him. Distorted. Enhanced. Scripted. Like his pain had been rewritten. He called Jordan immediately. I destroyed everything. Jordan's voice was heavy. Someone had backups. Or watchers. That stream wasn't local only, it was mirrored. Scraped. They used AI to regenerate everything. Your voice. Your face. It's not even you anymore. Jackson nearly threw the phone. That night, he opened a new browser window and typed in one word. Spectator. The original site was gone. But a dozen copies had appeared, clone sites, rehosts, mirror channels. The Broken Man Project was trending across dark forums. He scrolled through the comments. Episode 3 wrecked me. Mia is a goddess of destruction. That twist where he walks out. Performance art. He's the face of our time, modern suffering turned cinematic. Jackson felt his stomach twist. They didn't just exploit him. They worshipped the exploitation. A new email arrived in his inbox. From info@darkreel.media. Subject: Exclusive Rights Inquiry. We represent a platform interested in acquiring the full narrative of your story. Raw. Exclusive. We believe your journey is bigger than porn. It's a movement. Are you willing to collaborate? Jackson slammed the laptop shut. They weren't watching a victim. They were chasing a brand. He spent the next 2 days in silence. No alcohol. No phone. Just thinking. He could disappear. Delete his accounts. Change his name. Leave the country. Or, he could finish the story himself. Before someone else did. He called Mia. She answered on the first ring. Jackson, I'm not here to forgive you. I didn't ask you to, but I'm going to end this. Publicly. And I want the truth. Every detail. She was quiet. Then finally, meet me tomorrow. I'll tell you everything. They met in the park. Broad daylight. No cameras. No shadows. Mia wore sunglasses. No makeup. No armor. She handed him a USB drive. This is the master archive. From the beginning. The stuff they haven't aired. The parts even you didn't see. He held it like a ticking bomb. I'm not here to hurt you, she said. I don't believe you. I know, she said. But at least now you know what I see when I look at you. And what's that? She pulled off her glasses. Eyes swollen. Honest. Power. You didn't break. They did everything, and you're still standing. That night, Jackson opened the files. Raw footage. Journal entries. Messages between Mia and Vexler. Plans. Casting notes. Even the original pitch document for the Broken Man Project. Dated 6 months before Mia ever introduced the fantasy. He was never a partner in the experiment. He was always the subject. The next morning, Jackson opened a new browser window. Created a new channel. Titled it. Unwatched, the real story they tried to own. And then he hit record. Chapter 7, Unwatched. Jackson sat before the camera. No filters, no edits, no background score. Just him. A worn gray hoodie. Tired eyes. Silence heavy in the room. He took a breath and began. This isn't a documentary. It's not entertainment. And it damn sure is an art. It's what happens when pain is packaged and sold like porn. When trust becomes content. And when love is weaponized for the pleasure of strangers. The live stream was simple. No flashy cuts. No drama. Just Jackson's truth. He walked the audience through it all. How Mia introduced the idea under the veil of desire. How he surrendered. Not to sex, but to connection. How that connection was turned against him. He showed the evidence, Mia's pitch deck. Nolan Vexler's production files. Voice recordings. Edited cuts. Deepfakes. The leaked chatroom transcripts where subscribers voted on how Jackson should suffer next. Each piece stripped away the myth they'd built around him. He wasn't a broken man. He was a stolen man. Within minutes, the stream caught fire. Thousands watched. Then tens of thousands. It spread like gasoline on dry grass. Comments flooded in. This is abuse, not fantasy. This man needs justice. They made trauma into theater. He's not the content, he's the truth. Halfway through the broadcast, Jackson paused. Some of you are watching this thinking I'm brave. I'm not. I'm just tired. Tired of being edited, reframed, and marketed. I'm here to take my story back. And if you've ever been used, if you've ever been made into someone else's product, then this story is yours too. He leaned closer. No more silence. No more views. No more broken men. Then he did the unthinkable. He reached beneath the table, lifted the original master drive, the last uncorrupted version of all the footage, and he smashed it live on camera. Three hits. Shattered. The screen went black. For a few seconds, silence. Then a text card faded in. This stream will not be replayed. Because some stories don't belong to the internet. They belong to the soul. That night, every mirror site trying to repost the Broken Man Project was hit with takedown notices. Backed by a coalition of lawyers, whistleblowers, and victims who had reached out to Jackson after the stream. Dozens of people came forward. Other survivors. Other stories. He wasn't alone. Nolan Vexler was arrested 3 weeks later. Not for porn. But for digital trafficking, emotional fraud, and illegal surveillance. Turns out he hadn't just filmed Jackson. There were hundreds. As for Mia, she vanished. Some said she moved to Berlin. Others claimed she was working for a new production house in Tokyo. Jackson didn't look for her. He didn't need to, because he had already let her go. Months passed. Jackson didn't return to the spotlight. He bought a small cabin near the mountains. Started teaching kids how to shoot indie films. Real stories. Real people. He kept no cameras in his bedroom. No apps on his phone. Just quiet. And breath. And peace. And every so often, he'd receive a message. No sender. No reply address. Just 5 words. Thank you for being seen. And every time, he'd whisper the same thing back. Not anymore.